Lake of fire. Fire and brimstone. It's like, are you one of them fire and brimstone preachers? Yes, I am. Because it's in the Word of God. You have people that say, oh, don't be talking about hell. Don't be talking about fire and brimstone and the lake of fire. That scares people. Well, that's good. It should scare you right into listening up to the Lord. Because we need to know who to be afraid of and who not to be afraid of. There's a lot of manipulation that goes on with the use of fear. The world out there, especially these days, the last couple of years with this virus and everything, manipulating people with fear, getting people to do all kinds of crazy, silly stuff out of fear. And we also got to know what fear is, how to properly apply fear, and when it is good to be fearful and when it's not to be good to be fearful. As it's complicated when it comes to the word fear and the use of fear, and we know that the Lord tells us that we need to fear Him. And that's not only the reverent fear, but also the fear when it comes to accountability. We can see the evidences of His judgment on the planet with the great flood of Noah's day, how because of sin He destroyed every man, woman, and child upon the face of the earth except those eight that He preserved in the ark. And all the air-breathing animals as well, except those that were preserved in the ark. Why? You think, oh, that's terrible, that's hateful, that's evil, that's judgment, that's God. Like, well, I don't like that. I don't like thinking that there's a God out there that can cast me into a lake of fire and torture and burn and me wailing and gnashing of teeth for eternity. That's not the kind of God I want to follow or believe in. You think, well, no, I don't like that. I like to hear the God of love, love, love. Well, you got to know who you're really going to answer to. It's a God of love, yes. But He's also a God of judgment, a God of holding people accountable for their actions. You can't take one without the other. And you can't just alter reality by choosing not to believe something that is real. You cannot alter the truth by denying the truth. And the truth is that there is going to be a day of judgment. There is going to be a day of accountability. There are going to be many, many souls suffering in hell for eternity. That's a reality. Denying that reality is not good for you or anyone else. Over in Matthew chapter 10, the Lord teaches us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, 28, a little bit here about fear and who you should and how you should apply fear. Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Who's that? Jesus Christ. He spoke all of us into existence after all. Therefore, He has authority to do with us as He pleases, regardless of what we like about it. It's like, that doesn't sound very appealing. It doesn't have to be very appealing. Reality is reality, whether you like it or not. So we need to adapt to reality and accept reality and yield ourselves to the will of the Lord completely and fully. And knowing that someday we're going to be judged, we're all going to be looked at, we're going to be either spend an eternity in a place that's way beyond what you could possibly imagine in joy and beautiful, wondrous existence, or you're going to spend the time in a lake of fire for eternity. Whereas wailing and gnashing of teeth, like it says over in Matthew chapter 13, picking it up in verse 37, the answer said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, that which when a man had found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought them. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Over and over through the various parables that the Lord taught, He tells us over and over that there is going to be a time of judgment. There is going to be a time of accountability. Everything that you have ever done in your entire life is going to be looked at. What have you done with it? Have you given it up to the Lord? Have you asked for forgiveness for it and gotten it washed in the blood? Therefore, it won't be brought back up against you? That's what you need to do. You need to get it taken care of. As we read last week, as far as the east is from the west, away from you, your transgressions can be washed away. Merely confess to the Lord, and He'll forgive you of all your transgressions. That's the key thing. And then stick with it. Abide by that, so you can hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not be cast into the lake of fire where there be wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's a reality. It's going to happen. There is going to be a day of judgment. People don't want to think about that. They don't want to even consider that there could be such a place as hell. There's a lot of preachers, there's a lot of churches, there's a lot of organizations that won't talk about hell. They say, well, hell's just the grave. It's just into nothingness, non-existence. Lies. Lies of the devil. It's one of the most accomplished achievements of the devil is to convince folks that there's no accountability, that there's no hell. But there is. It's horrible to think about. You think, well, how can we be rejoicing and be happy for eternity if we know that some of the folks that we have encountered in life when we get over into the eternal state are not there? They didn't make it. They wound up in a lake of fire. I'm going to be there for eternity. Well, He tells us He's going to comfort us. How? I don't have a clue. But I know it's going to be by His power, His might. If He's going to make us joyful, if He's going to give us that joy, if He's going to take away all of our suffering, then we can stand on that with confidence and knowing that we're going to be happy. Some of them aren't. In Psalm 11, verse 6, "Upon the wicked He shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup." Over and over, Old Testament, New Testament tells us fire and brimstone, just like the account of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, a vast city, very prosperous, but got into sin, got into horrible sexual perversions. And the cry come up to the Lord, so much sin going on. So what happens? He comes down and He destroyed that city with fire and brimstone, wiped it out completely. You go, that's just a myth. It's just a story trying to manipulate people and control people by fear. No, it's true. It's reality. You can go over there today in that region and find hunks of brimstone. Brimstone is an interesting element, you might say. It's kind of like a hunk of coal, but it's a little bit different. It's more sulfur in it. It stinks. That sulfury smell. You can build you a fire and then put a piece of that on it, and it'll ignite and burn like coal. But it's different, and it stinks. And that was rained down upon Sodom. You still find it over there today. It's still used. The shepherds and so forth, and the travelers that are out, come upon a piece of it, that stoked a fire and last all through the night. It's there. It's evidence. Just like the worldwide flood. Anywhere you go on this planet, you can see evidences of the worldwide flood. Everywhere. Wasn't no little local event like some false teachers teach. No way. You can go up on top of the highest mountains and find seashell fossils. How? Because that was under the water. Entire planet. You fly and look down, you can see how the world was carved and crafted by the flood. You can see these big maps we have on display in the hall out there. The cracks in the ocean bottom, where it says the fountains of the deep. Evidences of it. The scars. So we know that all these things are true. And we can stand on the truth that's found in the Word of God and know that there is going to be a day of accountability, just like He teaches us in of the last days in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. And specifically in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, where He says, "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Everlasting fire. Prepared for the devil and his angels. That was the intent for this. Designed to put the devil and his angels in for eternity. But mankind, when they chose to follow the devil instead of God, fine, you can follow them right on into hell. For eternity. We've got to know that we are eternal creatures. That once the Lord brings us into existence, we are always in existence in some form. We come into this world spiritually dead. We have body and soul. Soul is your life force. Your body is simply understood. But you're spiritually dead. When you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost comes into you, bringing you back to life spiritually. That's the quickening it speaks of. So then your body, soul, and spirit. When you deny Jesus Christ and wind up at judgment without a spirit, you just soul and body. The body's already gone, destroyed, but that soul, that eternal life force will be cast into that lake of fire to suffer for eternity. Because that soul never goes out of existence. It's considered the second death. The second death means second separation. Second separation from God, never to be reunited or see God ever again. That in itself is horror. That in itself is hell. Over in Revelation chapter 20, we can see a little bit of this account of this judgment. This judgment that is the last judgment. Now we know all of us that are born again Christians are going to get raptured up. We're going to get raptured up when the Lord comes back to gather His people up to the rapture. And right after that rapture, we're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. We will be judged. We'll be looked at. Everything that we've done since we've been a Christian will be looked at very carefully. And what we have gained or what we have lost will be judged at that time. When we then come back with Him for the millennial period and rule and reign with Him for that 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, when the Lord destroys all of existence, all of creation, and creates a brand new heaven and earth, between that period and during that period, there's going to be a great white throne judgment. And that judgment will be for all of those that have not yet received a judgment, that were not part of the first judgment seat of Christ, that have to have the judgment. I've heard it mistaught that the great white throne judgment is only for the sinners. It is not only for the sinners. Because there's going to be millions and millions of people that are going to be around that had not been a part of the judgment seat of Christ. That came through the tribulation time and that were born and lived during the 1,000 years of the millennial period. Those Christians will have to have a time of judgment, as well as all of the lost of all time, will have to be a part of the final judgment, which is the great white throne judgment. As we see here in Revelation chapter 20, pick it up here in verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Note, there is a record keeper. Everything is being recorded. It's being wrote down. It's being saved so that it can be used come judgment. Your actions, your works, as it says. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works." Reemphasizing that again. according to their works, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the point a lot of Christians miss. They think, well, if they go to hell, you're going to be in hell for eternity. Well, no, you're going to be in hell temporarily until the judgment. You get out of the hell and go to the judgment, and from the judgment, then you get cast into the lake of fire if you're lost and was in hell to begin with. But hell itself is going to also be cast into the lake of fire. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second complete and total separation from God, never be reunited or even in front of Him for judgment. Nothing else after that for that soul into the lake of fire. But there'll be different degrees of punishment according to how evil they were. Were they just ignorant and didn't receive Jesus Christ? Did they refuse Him enough to the point where the Lord said, forget it, I'm done with you, and that's it? They go to hell, and they weren't really that bad, what we would consider morally bad. You got those, and then you got those that are obviously pure evil, that have done horrible things their entire life. They will not suffer the same degree of punishment. To be separated from God only is enough punishment to deter someone from wanting to go to hell, that's for sure. Into that outer darkness, as he speaks of. No light, outer darkness, where there'd be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then all the way to the point of suffering in a lake of fire. So it's based on their works, their evil works, because he told us that over and over. According to their works, according to their works, as he said in verses 12 and 13. So just as there's different degrees of punishment for how evil somebody was, there's different degrees of reward for how righteous you are, which is awesome to think about as well. But not only does He allow us to be a part of the new creation, He gives us special things beyond that individually when we are judged for our works as born-again Christians. Different rewards that we'll be able to enjoy during the millennial period, plus carry over into the eternal state. Different degrees of glory, different degrees of heaven that will be given to those that have followed the Lord obediently, totally submissive. So great rewards or great punishment, it's your choice. It's a simple choice. Receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and go to heaven and receive all kinds of rewards beyond what we could even imagine. Or deny Jesus Christ and wind up in the lake of fire. It would be torture and pain and suffering for eternity. 14 again, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If there was just a judgment for just the ungodly, there would be no need for the book of life because they weren't in it to begin with, because the only time you can get your name written in the book of life is to become born again. So this indicates another clue that this is speaking of judgments that's going to the righteous as well as the unrighteous. In these verses 11 through 15, it doesn't speak of the additional benefits and rewards that will be coming to the born again. This is focusing on that lake of fire, because previously there in chapter 20, they were speaking of the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet being cast into that lake of fire. Therefore, it is focusing on that. But carry on over now to chapter 21, and you see what comes to those that have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What we all that have trusted Him have to look forward to for eternity. And it's way beyond your wildest imagination of how beautiful it can be. Chapter 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Little side note here of some other false teaching that's going on out there. Very prominent preachers, they own the TV, they own the radio, they own the internet, and they still got it wrong. They're saying that this earth itself is just going to be scorched and then remodeled. Does it say, I saw a remodeled heaven and a remodeled earth? No, it does not. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I've been in construction most of my life, and I know the difference between something remodeled and something new. You take and go and find an old house, you want to remodel it, then you do what you can to make it look like a new one. But deep within that house, there's still some pretty nasty stuff. There's bug-eating stuff. There's mold. There's decay. There's rot that you get to cover up. A little bit of paint. A little bit of kills on the mold. A little bit of bleach. You spray it here and there. And you paint over top of it. Nobody knows it's there. A little carpet over top of the dog pee stains on the hardwood floor. Don't know it's there. That's remodeled. And something new, it doesn't have all that in there. And that's what we're going to have. A new heaven and a new earth. Because this planet isn't big enough. It's already crowded. And think of having all the souls of all time, all the born-again Christians on this planet at one time. It'd be kind of crowded. And then you got the false teaching saying, oh, we're all going to go inside New Jerusalem and stay there the whole time. 1,500 miles square. That'd be another pretty crowded place. That'd be pretty boring for God to just have all His folks sitting around in the new kingdom singing songs to Him. That's limited thinking. There's so much more beyond that. I don't have time to go into it, but it's amazing what the Lord has in store for us in the new creation. Read it again. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That means everything's gone, even the oceans. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. That huge, beautiful, beautiful, amazing city, 1,500 miles cube. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. To be right there in the face, person to person, facing and being able to look upon God, that is awesome. And be able to walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ. And be able to have the Holy Ghost around you at all times. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. All tears from their eyes. Even the tears of sorrow, because some of you folks didn't make it. They didn't make it. You look around, you don't see them. It's going to be sorrowful, you think. Well, no, He's going to wipe those tears away from us. How? I don't know. By His power and His might. That's what counts. And there shall be no more death. Never again to be separated from God. That's what no more death actually means. No more separation. Neither sorrow nor crying. Once again, emphasizing that. No sorrow, no crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Oh, that's a good one. We can all say amen to that, because we all, especially have a few decades under the belt that have the aches and pains. No more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He has sat upon the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. I make all things new. You say, behold, I remodel and rebuild and restore and renovate all things. No. You go out, you're going to go buy you something. You're going to go find you something that's rebuilt, or do you want to go buy you something that's brand new? You go to some of these outlet stores and you can see some pretty good bargains. You think, wow, that's a really good price. At the other stores, it was really a whole lot. You get to look in and read the details. Oh, it's remanufactured. It's rebuilt. Is that what you want? If you want a really good deal on something that might work for a while, maybe so. But we don't want a really good deal on something that might work for a while. We want something brand new. That's what He says, a new heaven, new earth. Behold, I make all things new, not remodeled, not restored, brand new. And He has sat upon the earth, said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. This is Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega. Because he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He that overcometh, what do you overcome? You overcome the temptation of sin. You overcome the slavery to the devil, the slavery to your sin and your sinful desire and your lustful desires. When you overcome that, how do you overcome that? By trusting in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, getting it washed in the blood. The Holy Ghost comes into you, gives you the strength and the ability to overcome all that. Then you can bring honor and glory to the Lord rather than disgrace and disgust and abominable feelings that the Lord has when you see things that are going on around in the world today. It makes him sick, as it says. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Sons and daughters, of course. That relationship, that bond never to be severed, that close and personal relationship that we can call Him Abba, which is like Daddy and Papa, never to be separated again, right there with Him. In that big, beautiful, brand new city that come down upon the beautiful earth, that has 12 gates in that city, you'll be able to come in and out. Why would there be gates on it if you weren't going to go in and out of it? You're going to be able to go in it. It talks about the kingdoms of the world coming into those gates. Well, if there's kingdoms of the world, then that means there's something beyond the city. You got to continue reading in chapter 22 to see these references, but that's there. There'll be no need of the sun or the moon in the city, because in the city it's going to be daylight all the time. But don't take that and say, okay, there's not going to be a sun and a moon and a new creation. It doesn't say that. It says the city has no need of the sun and moon. Therefore, we know that new creation says, I make all things new. Therefore, a new sun and a new moon. All things. You see, I make some of the stuff back, but others I don't want to take back. No, all things new. So much to look forward to as born-again Christians. Wondrous place. Be able to go into that city and then come out of that city, out those gates, go into the other kingdoms of the world. Those kingdoms of the world are going to have places of dwelling. They're going to have establishments of organization. They're going to have to be rulers, because it says the kings and so forth, that we will be kings and priests with the Lord for eternity. Therefore, they will be given different positions according to what you have done in your life and during the millennial period, that you've developed a relationship with God, and He rewards you with different things that you're able to do for eternity based upon what you accomplished as a born-again Christian. It's a lot to think about. But note, this is a message about hellfire and brimstone and the lake of fire. Those that have not got all the wondrous things that we just read about to look forward to need to look at verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The second death. Don't be a part of the second death. Trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and be looking forward to those wondrous things we just read about for eternity, to look forward to that, to be under brand new creation, to be able to walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ, to be able to go into that city anytime, day or night, because it's going to be lit up all the time by the light of Jesus Christ, and be able to spend time directly with the Lord. Or be able to go out of that city and go into the other kingdoms and be able to go into the world and see the wondrous creatures, all brand new. To be able to enjoy an interaction with all of God's creation in its perfection. So much to look forward to. Let's share that with others as well. Those of us that have trusted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior has a responsibility to share what He has given us. To go out and preach and teach. Spread the gospel like He told us to. On the housetops. When He whispers in the ear, proclaim it aloud. And don't fear what man can do. He's coming up against the Christians more and more. Trying to silence us. Trying to keep us from being able to gather together. Through this COVID madness, to even keep you from being able to sing gospel music. Not even gather outside and sing. Like those that were arrested early on. For singing gospel songs outside. That's the fear of man. That's the fear that we don't need to have. Don't fear man. Fear God. Obey God over man. Always. Because He is the one ultimately that is going to hold all of us accountable. So make your decision. You want to go to heaven? You want to go to that lake of fire? Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You oh so much for Your Word. It's powerful. It's current.